Chapter 2. When Morrison appeared along the banks of the Chesapeake, he had already walked 1,000 miles. If he had been of a mind to talk, he would have had 1,000 tales to tell. He entered Maryland through the Cumberland Gap, leaving behind the aged Appalachians and the hills and the plains and the city of St. Louis, which had been his gateway to the heart of the continent for some 20 years. He had been as far west as the Front Range of the Rockies, far enough north that he had entered a marshy land of lakes and black flies, and far enough south that he had viewed a panorama of craters, barren spaces, and skeletal protrusions that betrayed the earth's mortality. He had walked across native lands, sparred with native warriors, and slept with native women. He had watched one man scalped, seen several hanged by the neck, and had spied from a distance as a group of soldiers swarmed upon a village of the old and infirm and set them all ablaze. He had made a life of killing. Thus he knew the internal structures of beavers and raccoons, deer and caribou, grizzlies, mountain lions and buffaloes. There was a space of years in that past when he had discovered he was inordinately skilled at taking human life. His body and mind found through violence a clarity denied him in quiet thought. All this he had done so that he might forget the country of his birth and leave behind the memories of his youth and fill his days with images of sublime beauty or instinctual violence. As he returned into the land of brackish water, he knew he had failed on all accounts. A note had brought him back, a piece of paper, 32 sentences written in a tremulous hand. He was a gaunt man, simply clothed. His trousers were thick and earth-toned and oft-patched, reinforced with leather around the shins and buttocks. His shirt had a similar construction to it, as if he made his own additions or subtractions purely as fitted function, with no concern for visual appearance. Across his back he carried a canvas pack and a bedroll, and over his shoulder he had slung a mountain rifle, a sturdy, short-barreled weapon weighing some 12 pounds. He walked with his chin lifted, body canted far forward, arms crooked at the elbow. His jawline was just as sharp as it had been during his youth, his nose just as prominent.